Gemara, Masechet Shabbos, Daf Nun Dalon Amud Beis, on the bottom of the Amud, speaks about the Parasa Sharbalos of Nazari that we discussed in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said that the Parasa Sharbalos of Nazari went out on Shabbos with a Ritzua Shebein Inel. It went out on Shabbos wearing a Ritzua, even though our Mishnah had taught us that, of course, an animal may not walk out on Shabbos with a Ritzua, and with Shloi B'Ritzoyin Chachamim. So the Gemara asks, V'chad para havala, did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah only have one para? V'amr Rav, V'amr Le'am Yehuda Merav, Treisa Alfa Igla have a Maser Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Me'edri Kol Shata V'Shata. Just the Maser of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's parais were 12,000. That means he must have had at least 120,000 animals, if he had 12,000 equaling 10%. Answers the Gemara, Tana, Lo Shaloi Haisa, it wasn't his, Ela Shchinasai Haisa. It belonged to his neighbors, his neighbor, Umetar Shalim Michababa, because he didn't say anything to her, Nikras Al Shemai. It's considered as if he allowed his animal to go out on Shabbos without this Ritzur, which we're learning is Asur. So of course, as we begin learning the Gemara, we need to understand Rav Elazar ben Azariah certainly followed the Halacha. And if the Halacha is that an animal may not walk out, one is supposed to tell your neighbor, so why didn't Rav Elazar ben Azariah indeed tell his neighbor that she should not allow her parah to walk out this way? So some actually connect it to a question. There's a machloikis rishonim, the subject of our perek, the din of shvisas behemtai. Is that a mitzvah asay or mitzvah lois asay? The opinion of Tosfos and the Rambam is that shvisas behemtai is a mitzvah asay. The pasuk says, "V'yoyim shvi tishbois leman yinuach shorcha v'chamarecha." Rashi, the Ran, on the other hand, hold that shvisas behemtai in mitzvahs lois asay, as the pasuk says, "Loisasa kamalacha ato vincha v'techa avdecha v'masvecha behemtecha." So, according to the Rishonim that hold that it's mitzvahs asay, Rabbi Kiva Eger discusses that this may be a mitzvah asay shazman groma, because it's only applicable on Shabbos. And that perhaps could be was Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's thinking, that the animal, that he didn't have to say anything to his neighbor who was a woman, because the mitzvah asay shazman, the mitzvah shvisas behemtai, it's mitzvah asay shazman groma, and that women are exempt from. However, there are many achronim that say that even according to the Rishonim that hold that shvisas behemtai is a mitzvah asay shazman groma, women are still obligated for a number of reasons. Do they say this? One reason they say is because we find that just like the obligation to say kiddush on Shabbos, women are obligated to say on the chiyuv of kiddush. Because the Gemara says, "Kol sheyeshnoi b'shamar yeshnoi b'zechira, because zocha b'shamar b'dibe echa v'nemru." So on Shabbos there is no exemption amidst the sasei shazman groma, and therefore women are obligated. Others say that the reason women are obligated amidst the sasei shazman groma, that's only the only time we say such an exemption, says the Minchas Chinuch, is a mitzvah asay shazman groma that involves the person doing something or not doing something. Whereas the mitzvah asay shazman groma here doesn't involve the person doing something, and therefore we don't have it. It's not a mitzvah shebegufoy, and therefore there's no exemption of mitzvah asay shazman groma. Along the same line, the Pnei Yeshua says that the exemption of mitzvah asay shazman groma is only said where it involves doing something. but involves not doing something, there is no exemption for women of mitzvah as man grama. And it's very understandable. The Pnei Yeshua's opinion is very understandable, because Mefarshim always explain that why are women exempt from a mitzvah as man grama? Because they're obligated to take care of their families. So they can't do two things at the same time. They can't do the mitzvah asay and also take care of the family at the same time. But in a situation where it doesn't involve doing anything, like in our case, it just involves not letting your animal work. So there we don't have that exemption, and women are indeed obligated, therefore, in a mitzvah asay shazman grama. That's one way of perhaps understanding why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't say anything to his neighbor. Another way that perhaps we could understand why he didn't say anything to his neighbor is actually based on a famous question, which Rabbi Akiva Eiger also discusses, based on a Rosh, that the Rosh says that the concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh doesn't apply by women. And therefore, since it was his neighbor, a woman whose parah was going out on Shabbos this way, he did not have to say anything to her. But there are many questions on this, because many achronim say that when the Rosh says that women aren't obligated in mitzvah asay shazman grama, what the Rosh means to say is that women aren't obligated with arevis to men. The women, the din of arvis only doesn't apply from women to men, but it does apply from men to women. That's the opinion of the Dogel Mervava. And furthermore, Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that when does the Rosh mean to say that there is no arvis by women? That's only on women, on mitzvahs that they're not obligated to fulfill. But if it's a mitzvah that they too are obligated to fulfill, then we do say that women, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh LaZeh, between women, men and women. So again, we need to understand why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, so these are possible explanations why Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah didn't say anything, but perhaps we need to understand this a little better, and it'll help us understand the entire mitzvah of Teichacha. And the Gemara continues saying, read it quickly. Rav Rav Chanina, Rav Yochan, Rav Chanina Masna, the Kula to say the Moed, Kokai Zuga, Chalufa, Rav Yochan, Mayel, Rav Nosson. Whatever we have this group, Rav Yochanan is taken out and they put in Rav Yonason's name instead. The Gemara says, Kol Mishaf Shalimchos Ban Shebesai Veloy Micha, Nitfos Alin Shebesai, somebody who doesn't say something to his family, he's responsible. If he has the ability to say Ba'anshi Iroi, Nitfas al Anshi Iroi, he has the obligation. If he could say something to his town, he has that obligation. B'chol Olam Kuloi, Nitfas al Kol Olam Kuloi. And if you're a person that has the ability to say to many people, to the whole world, then you have to fulfill that obligation. And as the Mefarshim explained this Gemara, the way they explain this Gemara, just like we find that in Halacha, there's a difference between a Shami Chinam and a Shami Sachar, different levels of obligation. So too is the Halacha here as well, that the greater you are, you have more of an obligation to do what you have to do on behalf of your community and on behalf of your city. In fact, I saw a very interesting tshuva in the Sefer Cheshukei Chemed, where there was a Rav who was a member of Avada Kashrus in his city. And the Rabbanim in that community decided to be lenient in a specific issue that this Rav felt they ought to be strict about. And he therefore wanted to resign from his position of being a member of that committee. And the Cheshukei Chemed quotes the Tshuvas HaTeres Shloima, and he says that once one is a Rav, he has an obligation to do all of the duties of a Rav. And he can't just say that I'm resigning from my position. On the contrary, our Gemara is teaching us that if you're in this position of authority, you have to stick to that position. And even, he says, that there are people are saying that by him publicly protesting against his colleagues, the other Rabbonim, it may cause a Chilul Hashem. He says, of course, that's not considered a Chilul Hashem when you're standing up to do what's right. So the Gemara continues. Omra Papa, Hani de Beirish Kalusa, Nitves Akul Alma. The people, therefore, from the Reish Kalusa, who are in such a strong, such important position, are responsible for everybody. And the Gemara continues, Kodam Rav Chanina, Mai Diksiv Hashem B'mish B'yovai, Im Ziknei Amma V'sarav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will come to Din with the Ziknei Amma V'sarav. And the question of Nesarav Chatu, Zecheinim Chatu, if the Sarim did Averis, what did the Sanhedrin do wrong? Al-Ema, Al-Zecheinim Shalom Michu B'sarim. That the complaint is that they didn't say anything. So the question, of course, is, why didn't they say anything? They're the Sanhedrin. Don't they have the obligation of Echir Techir Semisecha? Another, so we have already two questions. One is, why did Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah not say anything? And the second question is, why didn't the Sanhedrin say anything in this situation? The Gemara continues. Rav Yehuda Av Yosef Kamei de Shmuel, Asa hi Yitzhak Katzavcha Kamei. There's a woman that came, and she said, she was crying in front of Shmuel, and Shmuel ignored her. Amalei Leisav Lamar. So Rav Yehuda said to Shmuel, don't you remember what the Pasuk says? Oitem Ozna Misakas Dal Gam Hu Yikr V'layana. If you don't pay attention when somebody cries out to you, when you cry, you will, too will not be answered. Amalei Shinana. So he said to him, Rabbi Yehuda, it's called Shinana. Reishcha Bekri Reisha De Reishich Bechamimi. I am cold water compared to Mar Ukva, who's considered the warm water. Daha Mar Ukva Abezdin. Mar Ukva is the Abezdin. Tiksiv, as the Pasuk says, based on it, Koyam Hashem, Dina Leboika Mishpat, Vatzila Goyzum Yat Ashkoi, Penteitze Keish Chamosi, Obara Ve'em Mechapa B'nei Roim Malayim. So he says, there's no complaint to me because I, it should have been Mar Ukva who should have said something. So it's a very interesting Machloikas Rishonim. From Rashi, it seems that Shmuel felt that he was absolved. If Mar Ukva's here, Mar Ukva should have said something. He doesn't have to say something. Mar Ukva is the great Rosh Bezdin from the family of David. He should have said something. But there are many Rishonim who learn that, the Meiri learns that way, that Shmuel also was held responsible. And Shmuel, maybe not to the same degree as Mar Ukva, but he also was held responsible for not saying anything. And actually, they have a Valdegaraya. It's based on a Tosis, Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Yoram Abayis, Devarei Maska Al Yoimim. Here we find that Rabbi Yehuda was Havi Yosef Kamei de Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda was sitting in front of Shmuel. And there we find that Shmuel was sitting in front of Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because indeed, Shmuel was punished for not saying anything. He should have said something. So we need to understand this Machlokes Rishonim. Was Shmuel obligated to say something? Or was he not obligated to say something? How ought we understand this Gemara? And then the Gemara continues. Amle Reb Zeira Le Reb Zina. Lechinama Lehani Debei Resh Galusa. Give him Musar. Amle Lemi Kabloi Minai. They won't accept what I say. Amle Afgab Deloi Mekamina Lechinama. So even if they won't, shouldn't you say something? And the Gemara goes into a long story where Ma'olam la'yotz amida tovim pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chasaba l'ra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never regretted for saying something chutz midav hazeh, except for one situation where the Pasuk says there was a nevuah Yecheskel saw. V'yom Hashem alav, that Yecheskel sees a nevuah that Hashem is saying to the Malach, avor b'soich ir b'soich Yerushalayim. V'saveisu tova mitzvus anoshim and anochim and anokim al kolatayvus anasis betoichai. People should be punished. Amalek Hashbaruch Hu Gavriel leich rishayim mitzvus shetzadikim tov shaldayoy. Make a tov of ink, a letter of tov of ink on the tzadikim shlo yishtu b'malachi chavola. V'mitzvus shel rishayim shel dam kedai sheyushlo to b'malachi chavola. That they should not, that they should be punished. So the Midas Adin says to Hashem, and why should a tzaddikim be off the hook? Amlai halol tzaddikim gemara, valol rishayim gemara. Amlai rabbanu shloilem, haye beyadim limchais flamicho. How could you call them tzaddikim? They didn't give mussar. Amlai gol of yidul lefanai shemichu behem loykabul mehem. I know that if they would have, I know that they wouldn't have listened. And from here, Tosfos teaches us that we see that in a situation where people won't listen, you don't have to say anything. Maybe you know that the people wouldn't have listened. Do they know? And the Gemara says, to come to the end of the story, that because of that, even the tzaddikim were punished. Eilu b'nei Adam, Tanur Rabbi Yosef, Al tikshu medoshai el mukudoshai, Eilu b'nei Adam shekimas atayr kulam of ataf, they were also punished for indeed not saying Musa. So there are many questions to understand. Here the Gemara at the beginning calls them tzaddikim gemurim. But how could they be called tzaddikim gemurim if they didn't give teichacha when they were obligated to give teichacha? How could such individuals be called tzaddikim gemurim? Furthermore, if Tosfos says that the halacha is that mussar doesn't have to be given in a situation where the people won't listen. So although the Gemara says that the Midas Adin said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know that the people wouldn't have listened, but they didn't know that the people wouldn't have listened. But there's a shayla shetshuvas tzemach tzedek based on this Gemara, in fact, that says, what is the halacha if someone intends to eat something not kosher, but he ends up eating something that's kosher? Says the tzemach tzedek based on this Gemara that he needs a kapara, because here too, they didn't have to say mussar at the end. But they didn't have to say mussar because the people wouldn't have listened. Yet they were punished because they didn't know and they should have said something. Asks Rabbi Chanan in the Kovetz Aretz Simon Membeis, Oistalud, he says, we know that's not the case. If someone wanted to be Mechal Shabbos, he carried, but it ended up that the area he carried in has an Erev. Will we say that he's a Mechal Shabbos? Of course he's not a Mechal Shabbos. So how can we say that these people did an Aveira? At the end of the day, they didn't do an Aveira if the halacha is that one doesn't have to give Musar when people won't listen. So to review the questions, we need to understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. Why did Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria not say? We need to understand the Sanhedrin. Why did they not say anything to the Sanhedrin? And we need to understand very much this story. If they didn't do anything wrong because the people at the end wouldn't have listened, why were they punished with such a terrible punishment? Furthermore, we need to understand, if we look in the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, Simen Tov Reish Ches, Sif Beis, the Shulchan Aruch says, this is the halacha that one has to have twice this Yom Kippurim, add on to the day of Yom Kippurim. But the Shulchan Aruch says, Nashim Sh'oichos V'shoisus Ad Shechashecha, if there are women that continue eating until it's actually dark, then Hein Eina Yodoy Shemitzvus L'hoisiv Ma'ola V'chol Al HaKadosh, Ein Memachem V'yodom, Dei Shloyov V'las V'zodom. If they eat, we don't say anything. Better that they should do it b'shogeg. Mutav she'eshar yigin v'ayehei mizidim. And indeed, the Ramah says, v'chol dovet iser. I mean, mutav she'eshar yigin v'ayehei mizidim. It's better not to say and let the people who are doing the avera be only a shayig, not a mezid. However, says Ramah, v'dafke she'enem afurish b'toyra, abishu daraisa. Something that's not, if it's daraisa, but it's not explicit, don't say anything. Aval in the forest of the Torah, if something is explicit in the Torah, there, Meichem B'yodim, we have to say something. So the question here is, this episode that the Gemara is referring to happened during the Bayis Rishon, where the people, as the Gemara says, in Sechti Yuma, were violating Avodah Zorah, Gila Rayas, Shvichas Tomin. So those are the forest of the Torah. So they had the obligation to say, even if people aren't going to listen. We don't say mutav she'eshar yigin v'ayehei mizidim under such circumstances. So the Reb Tzadok HaKohen says that here it's referring to situation to other averus. It doesn't mean those averus. But that's not Pashup Shat. Pashup Shat Yecheskel was referring to the averus that weren't being transgressed in his time. Vim yoideya she'ein dvarim nishmoim lo'yoyim b'rabim lo'chichim. If he knows that what he's saying won't be paid attention, he should only say it once. He shouldn't say it many times. He knows that he won't be listened to. And this Ramah is also difficult to understand. If there's a tchiv techacha, so why is it, and the tchiv techacha is to say a fila mei upon him, even 100 times, so why over here is one time enough? And if there's no chiv techacha, so why does he say it even once? And then he says, Abu Yochid, chayv l'chichat shiken and shikohen. So now we have some more questions. When do we say mutav she'eshar yigin v'ayehei mizidim? Clearly the Ramah says by the Raisa, we don't say so. By the Raisa, you have to say. The Raisa that's mefurish, the Torah. Other times you don't have to say. And when is there obligation to say it 100 times? And like Ramah says, Chayv lechichat shiyakeno yikaloleno, you're obligated to say until you get hit or get cursed. And when does that obligation not exist? So perhaps, and I think this is what the Mishnah Berurah in the Bi'ur Halacha is trying to say, that there are two separate halachas. There's a halacha of Teichacha. And that halacha has very strict, specific guidelines. And the most significant guideline is that if you know what you're going to say is not going to be listened to, you don't have to say. And in fact, the Mishnah Berurah gives some other conditions. He says that all of these halachas is only when we have the authority over those who are ivrei avera. But in a time when we don't have that authority, then the halacha of teichacha goes away. But even if there is no halacha of teichacha, there's still an obligation that when you see something, you have to say something. Not teichacha, but you have to say something if you see something. And with that, we could understand the entire Gemara. Rav Loz ben Azariah had no chiv teichacha. He knew his neighbor. He knew his neighbor would not listen to what he has to say. So there's no chiv teichacha. But he still has to say something. And the same with those Zakenim and the Sarim. The Zakenim and the Sarim knew that the Sarim won't pay attention to the Sanhedrin. But how could the Sanhedrin sit by quietly when an Aveira is being done? And because they sat by quietly, they were punished. And the same goes to the Nevuah of Yecheskel. As the Gemara itself says, it was clear that these people would not listen to what Yecheskel, to what the tzaddikim had to say. But that doesn't absolve the tzaddikim. Maybe it absolves them from the full halacha of teichacha, but it doesn't absolve them from saying something. And if the Gemara, and the wording of the Gemara is very meduyik, as the Gemara is saying, says they were not tzaddikim gemurim. They were tzaddikim. But you can't call somebody a tzaddik gomer, because the question, as we asked, is if they didn't say what they're supposed to say, so how could they be called tzaddikim gemurim? The answer is they were tzaddikim. But you can't call a person a tzaddik gomer, even if he has no obligation to say techacha. But he has an obligation to say something when he sees something. So that's why our Gemara is very understandable. They were tzaddikim. They had no chiyuv techacha. As Rabbi Chanan says, if at the end of the day you didn't do an aveira, even if it was unintentional, at the end of the day you didn't do the aveira, but we can't call you a tzaddik gomer. And now we could also well understand the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah's chilek, the difference that the Ramah makes between saying one time or saying many times. There's a mitzvah techacha, and the mitzvah techacha requires that one should say a filu meyapamim, even 100 times. But when does that mitzvah apply? That mitzvah applies when you have a chiyuv techacha. But even when you don't have a chiyuv techacha, that doesn't put you completely off the hook. You still have to say something. You still have to say something when you see something. And with that, we could understand many other piskei halacha. The halacha actually is that even when there is no chiyuv techacha, there is a chiyuv to teach people Torah. Because the chiyuv techacha is one chiyuv, and the chiyuv of Talmud Torah is a different chiyuv. And you're obligated to speak to the kehillah, and you're obligated to teach people Torah, and you don't. And that has nothing to do with techacha. That's called teaching Torah. So we have now a third category. There's a category called teaching Torah, even though by people learning Torah, what they did till now, b'shogeg, they may end up doing b'mezit. We still have there's no concept of mutav shei shogeg v'yei mezidim. There's a concept if teichacha, when what you say can have an effect, you should say something. And in fact, I saw the Shor Mitzion Balocha discusses at what point can you be sure that somebody, that people will not listen. And this is very much connected to what we're learning. He quotes a Ran who quotes the Ra. You can't be sure until you said once. So now it's very geschmack. Once you always have to say, because you can never be sure that you're not going to, that the person will not listen until you've tried and said it at least once. And even though that may not be the obligation of Teichacha, there is an obligation always to say something if you see something. The Chasam Sofer goes further. He says, if you have a large group, he quotes the Sefer Chassidim, and you have a group of people, as long as there's one person in that group who, if you say something, will listen to what you have to say, you have an obligation to say something for that, you have a chiyuv techacha for that one person, even though the other people will now become a zidim. The chiyuv techacha still remains. The Ramah, however, in Simen Shin Lamedalit, Paskins, this is in Yerushas Mishpat actually, Simen Shin Lamedalit, Sif Memches, says, Api Shechayv Adam Limchois Ba'ivri Aveira, the Kamisha in a Moicha Biyoda Limchois, Nitfas ba'isa oven, you have to say techacha. The kamakam en adam chayv lahoitzmi money alze. The person doesn't have to spend money on this. Okay, nagul limchais over avera sheshlocha shiya oimdem al gufa meidenu. And that's one of the reasons he says we could be more lenient nowadays in the whole mitzvah of techacha, because people don't listen to what we have to say, because we don't have to, because everything costs money, and we're not obligated to spend money on this. So says the Ramah. But I saw that the Sefer Chashuki Chemet says that that dispensation only exists in by certain Averis. He says by serious Averis, he gives an example where we see that there's a Jew, Chas V'Shalom, who may marry a non-Jew, that we don't have that dispensation. And then we have to spend we even have to spend our own money to have people, to avoid people from doing Averis. Why? Because, as I said, maybe that doesn't fall under the category of Teichacha, but there's still an obligation that goes beyond Teichacha that one has to do. And It's interesting to point out that the Yerushalmi says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah fasted for this Avera until all his teeth fell out because of all of the fast that he fasted for this Avera. So I saw that the Mepharshim explained that all his teeth fell out, and that's why it's called Parosa Shel Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This para, this one cow, caused Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to fast and do tshuva, because he realized how important it is to say something if you can. But on the other hand, I saw Rabbi Aaron Kotler says that if our Gemara is teaching us how serious it is if you don't say something when you're supposed to say something, so on the contrary, he says, a person who does say something when he's supposed to say, and he doesn't have all sorts of cheshbonis, it's better not to say. But he does what he's supposed to do. So certainly, me the toiva meruba, me the pranius, how much toiva will come to the people who take it upon themselves when they see something, to say something, even if there is no mitzvah teichacha, as our Gemara very clearly explains.